How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay them, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King, locked on trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We're here for you every day, Monday through Friday, even on a day where the Celtics just get smoked, just destroyed by the Cleveland Cavaliers in a battle for the top seed that was really no battle at all after the first 12 minutes of the game. 114-91 was the final. Here to talk about it, me, John Corrales, and Sam Jam Packard. We're the Reigning Jays. Lots to get to today. A lot of guys just not playing well at all. And I want to start with, I think, the stupidest statistic of the night, which is LeBron James playing 38 minutes in a blowout over the Boston Celtics. We'll get to the Boston stuff that went wrong in a minute. I want to know what the hell the Cavs are doing, because it doesn't make any sense to me for them to play him 39 minutes after playing him 37 minutes, playing two straight blowouts. The Cavs are being really stupid, and I don't root for anything bad to happen, but it's getting to a point where they almost deserve this to backfire on them.
You know, it everything about sports science completely says that this is not the right thing to do. You want to play your guys less minutes, especially before the playoffs. One of the major reasons or advantages that the Cavs had over the Warriors last year is just in the finals, it looked like they had more energy and LeBron had more bounce. So I don't get it. My only theory is that whatever like kind of secret HGH that LeBron's on requires maximum physical exertion for every single game. So they just need him to hit some sort of effort threshold in order to like qualify for his HGH supplement.
LeBron had 36, 10, and 6 against the Boston Celtics. Again, in 38 minutes, he came out and he said, you know, oh, it's just another game. This meant something. This meant something to him. This meant something to the Cavaliers. And I really do think that the Cavaliers have been worried about how they're playing. They've been worried about their defense. And they've just not been themselves. And I think there's a certain level of concern over in Cleveland. And they are screwing up. I'll just say it right now. I think they are screwing up, and they're trying to prove a point now at the end of the regular season when tonight's game showed they could have easily turned this on against Indy or Miami or Chicago or Milwaukee. They could have pulled this off in the first round of the playoffs and proven the exact same point. But for some reason, those idiots in Cleveland are trying some stuff now, and it's going to cost them. They are not going to win the title if they're pulling this stuff now. So I just want to get that out of the way first, because it's just so stupid and it eats away at me right now. I think that they're just idiots over there. And Tyronn Lue is not exactly proving himself to be the best coach in the world right now. So that's my hot take right out of the gate.
I like it. Spicy hot take.
All right, let's get to the part where everybody's really worried about here is the Boston Celtics, who the first quarter, they came back and they won the first quarter 20-19. They also won the fourth quarter, but that doesn't really matter. They won that by one. But the first quarter, they came out a little slow. A lot of shots were missed. On both sides. Cavaliers shot 26%. The Celtics shot 38% in the first quarter. But behind Isaiah, who had a great first, 12 points on 5 of 9 shooting. He was the only one to hit anything, really, because everyone else went 3-4-12 in that quarter. But the Celtics still managed to outscore the Cavaliers 20-19. It's the second quarter, and how many times have we said this, Sam? Second quarter, Brad Stevens threw out some kind of stupid lineup, and it got smoked. It was what was the run? 22-4 before
24-4. It was even worse.
24-4 before Isaiah, with Isaiah on the bench, and it was a lineup. Let's see if I can remember the lineup. It was Kelly Olynyk, Jerebko, right? Smart, Jaylen Brown, and
I think Avery Bradley.
Avery Bradley. Which just, yeah, because Avery Bradley played 11 minutes in that second quarter, and it was terrible. We'll get to him, more on him. That lineup in the second, that's where it all fell apart. The Celtics were outscored 38-22 in that second quarter. They never recovered. Never recovered. And I feel like it's probably the fifth game this season where a stupid start the second quarter lineup cost the Celtics big, and just they never came back from it.
No, it was atrocious, and the offense was terrible. I think they scored 6 points in the first 6 minutes. It's the same thing that happens every single game, is that just they struggle to generate points when Isaiah's on the bench. And I don't know if Brad was using Avery Bradley as the kind of the anchor of that second unit to try and get him going after him being sick a couple of games. But I feel like the most effective person role has been Al Horford this season, and so I'm not sure exactly what the strategy was there, but we knew it going in. My first note of the second quarter is, how poorly is this stretch going to go? It's just
it's true.
The Celtics weren't knocking down any shots, even when Isaiah was in the game. He was just kind of willing them to kind of be it being close by getting to the basket, but Bradley wasn't hitting down outside shots. Crowder wasn't hitting any outside shots, so I don't know. It felt like they're doomed at that point. And it was kind of bizarre to see Brad use such a deep bench in this game. Like, at this point, I didn't think we'd be seeing Terry Rozier minutes or anything like that. And I tweeted this during the game, but the kind of tongue in cheek, but kind of seriously, like, the Celtics rotation really should not go beyond 9 in the playoffs. Like, I know we just chastised LeBron for playing all these minutes, but in the playoffs, when there's a limited amount of time left in the season, I really want Isaiah to be playing over 40 minutes a game. You just need your best players on the court, and if the bench, especially Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown, are going to play like absolute dog shit, then you get your good players on the court.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the lineups that are ultimately going to be used in the second quarter. Part of me, if I'm searching for silver linings or just trying to make some sense of it, part of me wonders if Brad Stevens is not really going to tip his hand on the playoff rotations yet, and he's just trying to use different things. And the only player that was unavailable tonight was Tyler Zeller, but Tyler Zeller was being used in a particular way that allowed for Al Horford to get minutes to start second quarters, and that was, I think, a very big development for the Boston Celtics. I'm going to continue that thought in a minute, but first I want to send a message to any listeners who may be also local business owners in the Boston area. One thing that we have got going on here on the Locked On Podcast Network, it's just a special kind of local daily thing that's been growing by leaps and bounds. This podcast has grown tremendously over the course of the season. And it's a unique opportunity for local advertisers to get in on the ground floor, really, of a very fast-growing network. You can target local listeners, people who live in the Boston area. You know, we are, and just by virtue of our statistics, we are about 98% male. We're in that key demographic that spends money. And according to a study, that consumers are very highly likely to purchase from podcast sponsors. About two-thirds of them more willing to consider purchasing products and services they learned about during a podcast. So if you are interested in hitting this local male audience in that 18 to 44 range, 25 to 54 range, the guys with money, the guys that want to spend money, just hit us up. It's LockedOnCeltics@gmail.com. Send us an email, and our rates are based on the traffic. So it's very reasonable, and if we do well, you do well. So send us an email today if you are interested. Okay, back to the lineups, where I can't believe that missing Tyler Zeller would kind of throw off anything Brad Stevens was trying to do. But I think one thing that we've seen from tonight is you need Isaiah Thomas or Al Horford on the floor at all times. At all times. Because in that second quarter, when Al Horford came back in, things started to change. In that second quarter where they were outscored by 16, Al Horford had 10 points and was only a minus two. So, and that was in 7.5 minutes. When he finally came in the game and they were able to put him in the post and he passes amazingly well out of the post, he's the guy that in that lineup can raise the game. We think about Al Horford. He raises everybody's game. He's the guy you need with that second unit or whatever number of second unit players are going to be out there to start the second quarter. So I'd like to think that Brad Stevens will eventually use that on a regular basis come playoff time.
I would hope so. And maybe using Bradley this time was matchup based and he wanted, because the Celtics are going to go small because they're playing against a smaller Cavaliers team without Tristan Thompson. So they thought there was going to be more minutes of Horford at center. So they didn't really want to waste him. I don't know what the exact kind of issue or the plan was for the second half, but I think you're absolutely right that staggering Al and Isaiah minutes, so one of them is on the court for all 48 minutes, makes the most sense. But can we talk about Avery Bradley and just what?
Yeah,
I know he's coming back from being sick, and Tommy was talking about how if you have the flu like that, it's really going to hurt your jump shot. But it's just, he's got to like get some Pedialyte or like something in his system, because he was just terrible tonight. 1 for 8 from the field, only 4 points. He did end up with 7 boards, but you really need either him or Jay Crowder to step up and be a legitimate scoring threat over like 15 points a game if the Celtics are going to win games in the playoffs. And just having him give you nothing on offense when he's your most, probably one of your most consistent outside shooters, is just really just not good. So whatever he needs to do, I know you were joking about it with Jay in the other game, he just needs to stop being sick, and I agree with you. Just stop it. Get healthy. Like, stop. We got the playoffs coming up.
Yeah, Avery Bradley, uncharacteristic. I'm not going to get too down on Avery Bradley, but he just had a terrible night offensively. He, at the beginning, we were talking about how much of a defensive menace he was on Kyrie Irving. Kyrie ended up with a decent night here, with 19 points and 5 assists, but he only shot 39%. And a lot of that in the first couple of the first half, let me see, the first quarter, he was 2 of 7. And then let's see, in the second quarter, it was 2 of 3. And then after that, he kind of got going a little bit when everything was mostly decided. But in the first quarter, Avery Bradley did a tremendous job. We were tweeting out like first team all defense and all this other stuff. Like, we were really enjoying the Avery Bradley defensive experience. He's just offensively, his shot looked flat. He was shooting it. I felt he's already got a pretty low release. It felt even lower. It felt flatter. So he I think must be feeling the effects of whatever it was that was bothering him. Jaylen Brown did not have a great game. He had a pretty terrible game after having a pretty nice game against the Cleveland Cavaliers in his first matchup against LeBron James. But he's a rookie. That's going to happen. Terry Rozier. I'm at this point, I'm mad every time Terry Rozier plays. Sometimes he does good things, but he's not having the season we thought. That's fine. He's a second-year player. He's shown some flashes. I'm not necessarily giving up on Rozier. I think he has strong fundamentals, but right now it's not working for him. And every time he plays, it feels like bad things are happening with Terry Rozier on the floor.
I don't disagree, but I'm shocked we got to Terry Rozier criticism before we really broke down how much of a shit sandwich Marcus Smart was tonight.
I wanted to save that one for last.
Oh, okay.
I really wanted to dive into Marcus Smart after I kind of wanted to. That was building up to something there, so. Let's do it.
Well, I ruined it. I accidentally shot our wad on what I thought was a dry run. Quite a mess on our hands.
You know, what you should do is record yourself and play it back. You'd be surprised at what you hear. God, I hope you guys get that reference. All right, let's get into Marcus Smart here. He was fucking terrible. He on both ends of the floor. Defensively he played all right, but offensively, whew, 1 of 8, 1 of 4 from three, 1 of 2 from the line, 4 points, 4 assists, a minus 19. Who, you know, Avery Bradley was the only one worse on the night. Just, ugh, God, terrible Marcus Smart. Just, I can't even break it down. He's shooting above the break threes, which is just ridiculous. The only three that he made was in the corner. Thankfully, I don't know if he's got, he definitely has this irrational confidence about him, which is great in some respects, but God damn, it lets him take shots that he has to stop taking.
It's great when it works, and it's great when he does an FU steal and it's diving on the floor, and but when he's in the funk like he's in now, it's kind of difficult to watch. And he had some, I wasn't even that upset with his 3-point attempts. He missed a wide open one, and missed a couple others, but he had some just attempts at layups and shots in the post that were just ugly. It looks like he's completely out of rhythm. So I just don't know what it takes to like get him back like locked in, because right now he's been bad for the Celtics. He's hurting the Celtics as the kind of primary ball handler, not named Isaiah Thomas. It's just, he's not been good. And remember the game in Cleveland where the Celtics had that crazy comeback with all the starters were on the bench, and him playing in the pick and roll, making the right decisions was the major reason why the Celtics made that comeback. And it's kind of frustrating to me how much he's fluctuated this season, because he has his great moments and then he just turns in this just kind of god-awful performance. And it's something that the Celtics are going to really need him to step up for the postseason. At this point, you know, down the stretch that Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, and Al Horford are going to be on the floor. But I feel like the Celtics don't know who that fifth guy is. Ideally, it would be Marcus Smart because of his defense and his intensity. But if he's shooting this poorly, you can't put him in the game. Is it Jaylen Brown with just kind of, do you trust a young guy like that in the playoffs? He had some defensive miscues, but he's been shooting better. Is it Amir Johnson? He feels like he only can play against teams with traditional bigs, but he was actually pretty decent tonight. And was like, gives it an all around good effort, but you know he's not going to be able to play more than 20-25 minutes a game. So it's not the best sign that the Celtics are still looking for that fifth guy right now, but I know we're all kind of shitting on them after a terrible loss. So I still think they're in pretty good shape and expect them to go make a decent run in this playoffs. But just the Marcus Smart playing so poorly right now is not what you want headed into the final games of the season.
No, post All-Star break, he is shooting 18.9%. It's actually 18.88888% after tonight. So just under 19% from three, which is, ugh, God, awful. He at least pre-All-Star was shooting 31%, which is not ideal, but it's at least approaching league average. And now his true shooting percentage has dipped down under 46%. And he's taking more shots. I feel like he continues to just take shots that he shouldn't be taking. It's as simple as that. He's just got to stop with those particular shots and figure out a way to become a more selective three-point shooter. That's Marcus Smart is at his best when he's driving or when he's in the post. And if the Celtics can find opportunities, like, why isn't he in the post against Kyrie Irving? If that's the matchup that's out there, why couldn't he get out there in the post, even against Iman Shumpert? Like, it doesn't matter who's out there. What if he's got Deron Williams guarding him? D. Will was out on the floor for 15 minutes. Why not put him in the post against D. Will? That's been an effective strategy for the Celtics. And the only thing I can think of is, again, two things. One, Marcus Smart is just not playing up to his abilities right now and not playing smart. Or two, Brad Stevens is not using his full arsenal. He's not doing the things that he might normally do in the playoffs to, I don't know, maybe he's holding back and doesn't want to tip his hand or whatever. That's the only thing I can think of, because we've seen it work. We've seen Marcus Smart in the post work. We've seen him pass out of the post. We've seen him score in the post. He's got a pretty good post game. And I know the NBA is not geared towards post play, but when you've got matchups and a guy like Smart that can really still run an offense, you can flow through him in the post, why not use it? And that will only get him to play better, I think.
Yeah, that's where he has his prime advantage. So it just doesn't make sense why that's not like kind of his go-to. And it feels like that's when he was playing at his best, is when they were really trying to exploit Marcus being that bigger guard. And playing Jaylen Brown at shooting guard next to him, just so that Marcus automatically ends up on the point guard. But tonight, even when we saw him go to it late to try and like get some momentum going, he still looked kind of shook and missed what was normally an easy shot for him. So I don't know what the solution is, but something needs to like click with him. I don't think we're going to get a snow day miracle like we had last season, but something has to happen. The good thing about all this is that the Celtics can right the ship pretty quickly, because they're playing, or when you hear this, they're playing tonight against the Hawks. So I guess that's the good thing about all this, is they don't have much time to stew in this loss. They really have to kind of improve moving forward. And with the Raptors coming back to beat the Pistons tonight, they're still having to win some ball games to get to the second seed. The Raptors are only 2.5 games back. I think they hold the tiebreaker. So the Celtics need to win two of their final four games just to make sure they hold on to the second seed before the playoffs start.
Well, the good news for the Boston Celtics when it comes to that is that two of their final four games come against Brooklyn and Charlotte, non-playoff teams. So that's not a bad thing. They will now finish off their back-to-back schedule with Atlanta. And Atlanta is, struggling a little bit. And then the end of the season with Milwaukee. So a winnable game, even though they had some issues with Milwaukee the last time around and lost. So I still expect the Celtics to lock up the second seed. They could still theoretically get that top seed, but that's going to be hard with four games left and the Cleveland holding the tiebreaker. They need Cleveland to lose twice, and the Celtics basically need to win out. So that would be tough. So I guess the matchup to watch for now is, do you want the Raptors in the second round, or do you want the Wizards in the second round? And right now, the Raptors have a half-game lead on the Wizards, tied in the loss column with a few games left to go in the season. So that's going to be interesting. I would prefer the Wizards, but I don't want to spend too much energy on that because things could change. Things could change. Who knows? Who knows what will happen over the next week? I was interested to see today how the Celtics were trying to avoid Isaiah getting blitzed. And after the first quarter, I didn't see a ton of it because the game just got out of hand. But it was real interesting to see how the Celtics were, when they set the pick and roll with Isaiah Thomas, there were a couple of instances where they slipped the screen. So instead of having Isaiah use the pick and make a decision and read and give the opponent time to blitz him, the guy setting the screen immediately slipped it, and Isaiah kind of took a step back and looked for the opening there. And it was Amir Johnson, I think, once or twice, and Marcus Smart, who did it. He actually did try to post up in this one. It was this one instance. So the one thing I think over the last few games to watch for with Isaiah Thomas, and you put it in your notes, where you asked, am I high or does Isaiah not know what to do when he's being blitzed? Right? Did you write that or am I high? So we have audio problems here. We can't get Jam Packard back. But basically, Isaiah's had some issues with getting blitzed on the pick and roll. And I think with this strategy, something to look for over the next four games, if the Celtics are going to slip the screen and not give the defense enough time to react and blitz Isaiah, he can do something with the ball, or at least get the ball to that roll guy and initiate more of the offense that way. And if you play 4-on-3 after that for a quick hot minute, then perfect. Another thing I saw was setting a pick for Isaiah way up around the hash mark, and with him on the run, giving him a running start, getting towards the rim, it's an interesting little strategy because now you take out his defender and you force the rest of the defense to adjust to Isaiah going full speed towards the rim. So an interesting strategy, something the Celtics are going to have to work on over the last four games, or at least to have Isaiah ready for the playoffs, because blitzing Isaiah is the strategy the Atlanta Hawks used last season, and it was effective. And the Celtics, Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, Al Horford, those guys are all going to have to shoot really well. Marcus Smart's going to have to shoot at least not terrible for that blitzing strategy to also not be very effective. So that's it. Sorry for the technical issues here that we lost Sam Packard for the last minute or so, a couple minutes or so, but that's technology for you. That's how it goes sometimes. But that'll wrap up the show for us. Thank you for listening. If you are not a subscriber, please search for us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. Search Locked On Celtics. You will find us, and you should subscribe to get us on your phone, on your mobile device, as soon as the show posts. If you have not rated us 5 stars at this point, please do. It's something that we really appreciate, and it helps us out a whole lot in spreading the word. Okay, Celtics lose 114-91 to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Everybody's getting ready to jump off the Tobin Bridge, but please don't. Celtics play again Thursday night against the Atlanta Hawks. We're going to be here for you postgame after that, and for the rest of the season and the playoffs, which will be better. I swear it will be better, even though tonight a lot of people are going to freak out about how the Celtics aren't as good as the Cavaliers. I think that's something we all kind of understood going into the season. No one really, really expected the Celtics to get past the Cavaliers in the playoffs. But who knows? Maybe some things will change between now and then. Lots to get to before then. We'll be here for it all here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network. King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics.
Napa Know How. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How. Napa Know How. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.